welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast post-game edition. I guess really post-game reaction edition. Seth Campbell being joined alongside Matt Jones. And Matt, it was a disappointing Saturday, a solemn Saturday, if you will, in Razorback Nation. But I guess one of the good takeaways is it does look like Arkansas found a starting quarterback.
Well, you would think so. Now, Chad Morris said after the game that he wasn't ready to name Nick Starkle the starter for the Colorado State game on Saturday. But I think to anybody who watched that game, and even who watched the drives that Starkle was in against Portland State, it's so obvious that this offense just moves better when he is on the field. I mean, you even think back to the Portland State game. He had the interception his first drive, but then he comes back and he throws a 38-yard pass, gets him into the red zone. I don't think it's really his fault that they didn't get into a scoring opportunity there in terms of getting their field goal unit on the field. You know, the coaching staff, if you go back and watch the video, I don't know if you've seen it or not, Seth, but there's a video out there where you've got four coaches signaling one thing and you've got Chad Morris telling the quarterback to spike the ball. Mm-hmm. There was mass confusion at the end of that half. But to your point on the Ole Miss game, it was just obvious that the offense was different when he was in the game than when Ben Hicks was in the game. It moves a lot better. He can make a lot more throws, I think, than Ben Hicks can. And I guess from a coaching standpoint, I can understand why they're not naming a starter for this one reason. As a head coach, you or a coach of any, you know, being an assistant coach, but you're evaluating the whole package. And I will say, there were some things that Nick Starkle did last night that if you're not really paying attention or if you don't listen to, you know, what the coaches are saying afterward, you might not see it. So, for instance, you can put a lot of the blame for the ineligible receiver downfield at the feet of the quarterback. The quarterback has to be able to look to his left and to his right. This is what Jordan Rogers said last night, almost verbatim. Look to your left. Look to your right. Make sure that you're in the right formation. And that's what they liked about Ben Hicks. You remember after the Portland State game, Chad Morris, he talked specifically about how Ben Hicks got them out of some situations and how the quarterback play in that game with Hicks was a big reason why they didn't have any pre-snap issues. And I would say that this is a pre-snap issue when you've got a tight end being covered up by a receiver. If Nick Starkle looks to his right and he sees Treylon Burks on the line of scrimmage and he just gives him one of these right here, tells him to take a step back, then that touchdown stands. It's a 10-10 game with 5:50 to go in the third quarter, and who knows how that game ends. But they didn't get it. They didn't get the first down a couple of plays later, and Ole Miss goes down and scores. And from that point, Arkansas never really threatened. The play to Mike Woods, just a couple of plays before the ineligible receiver downfield play, that pass was supposed to go to the right, not mm-hmm. to the left.
On the trick play?
On the double pass. And so, you know, I think there are some things that Nick Starkle does that probably will cost you maybe a little bit more than if Hicks were your quarterback. But on the flip side, you have to have a quarterback on the field who can move the offense. And, you know, I think it's kind of that old saying that you kind of have to take the bad with the good. And I think that Nick Starkle, even though there might be a little bit more bad with him in terms of penalties and some things like that, and obviously he doesn't know the offense nearly as well as Ben Hicks does, I think that his raw natural ability gives him the potential to have a lot more good than when Hicks is on the field.
When you lose a game 31-17 and your offense doesn't get into the end zone until the game is well in hand,
yeah,
there's a lot of finger pointing that can go around, especially from people that weren't playing and fans that are in the stands. And you talked about Starkle getting people in position, and Hicks was really good at that. And people want to point the finger. So I guess what I'm going to ask you, Matt, is, you know, not necessarily singling anybody out or any player in particular, but, you know, does it, when a guy is lined up, does that go on the receiver or on the quarterback, or does that always go back to the coaching staff and not getting the team prepared enough?
I'm really not sure. I think some of that has to do with inexperience. You think about the two key players in that touchdown that was overturned. They're both new players in this offense, or relatively new. You had Treylon Burks. He was the receiver that was covering up the tight end. You had a quarterback in there who was, what was that, his second series of the game and his fourth series as a Razorback. And so I think that you could probably chalk that up some to inexperience and, you know, just the – and you see this early in the season. You see a lot of you know, for lack of a better word, just dumb penalties that teams make. And
right.
Arkansas avoided that to a large degree against Portland State, but there were, you know, three or four of them. And I think, you know, part of that is being a young team playing on the road for the first time. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the coaching staff, they're going to be the ones that say, hey, we'll accept the responsibility. But I think if you have especially if you have an older quarterback, and Arkansas has two older quarterbacks right now, that quarterback has to be able, as he's reading the defense, to also look at his side of the ball and be able to say, hey, yes, we look right, or no, something needs to change here. And so I think as Starkle becomes more aware of his surroundings and he becomes more comfortable in this offense, I think you'll start to see him be able to make those checks and reads at the line of scrimmage better. But that is definitely an area, I think, where he is quite a bit behind Ben Hicks right now.
Going over to the defense, and you know, John Chavis, his defense has really kept Arkansas in these really first two games. Arkansas hasn't been able to score early touchdowns in the first mm-hmm. quarter of both of these games. What are you seeing from the defense that you like?
Well, you know, I think the front, the maybe not the front seven, but the defensive line is definitely getting a pretty good push against these teams. I mean, you saw some times last night where Matt Corral was having to run out of the pocket and throw on the move, and you know, not nearly as many times as what they were able to do against Portland State. And you know, of course, you're playing against better offensive linemen, even though Ole Miss only has one starter back on the offensive line. I thought they played really well for the most part for three quarters last night. I think Ole Miss probably did some things that helped Arkansas out, some turnovers. You know, obviously Cameron Curl made a great individual play on that turnover in which he recovered it and took it back for a touchdown. But I believe there was another turnover earlier in the game where the ball carrier just dropped the ball. Tackling is still, I think, a sore spot for them, and not necessarily tackling up the middle. I think they're tackling pretty well right now between, you know, between the hash marks. But I think on the perimeter of the defense, they're not tackling well. You think about a big play in the game Saturday night was early on, maybe Ole Miss's second drive. At third down and short, they throw a little short pass out to Dontario Drummond. Jarquez McClellan misses a tackle. It's a 26-yard gain, and all of a sudden Ole Miss is able to get that tempo in place, and they go down the field and they score in 13 plays and 85 yards. And that play, even though it might have gone for a first down, it was the missed tackle that I felt really gave Ole Miss some momentum and was able to get them in that tempo offense. And whenever teams are able to establish that tempo, that's when Arkansas, under Chavis, has been unable to slow them down, you know, for lack of a better term. But they've struggled when teams have gotten into their rhythm, into their tempo offense. And so that happened a couple of times in the first few quarters last night. And then in the fourth quarter, it looked to me like they were just gassed. They were on the field for a long time last night. You think about the first half when Arkansas wasn't able to really sustain anything from an offensive standpoint. And then even, you know, in the second half, as Arkansas is able to start picking up the tempo a little bit more, I thought what we saw from the offense with Nick Starkle was probably as close to as advertised of an offense for Craddock and Morris as we've seen since they've been here. But on the flip side, that puts your defense on the field a little bit more. And so, you know, I think they played okay. I do think you have to look at this, though. Ole Miss had a really good offensive night last night. Maybe not really good, but they had a good offensive night, much, much better than what they had against Memphis. You know, they had 310 yards more of total offense in that game against Arkansas than they had against Memphis. And part of that, I think, has to do with the adjustments. You didn't expect a Rich Rodriguez offense to stay down for long.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of a long-winded way of saying that I think they've done some things well, but there are clearly some things that they've got to get cleaned up. I don't think that this defense is going to be able to win games for Arkansas. I think they're going to be able to keep them in games, but Arkansas's got to be able to score more points, you know, to win games. I don't see Arkansas being able to score 20 points like they did against Portland State most games and win. I think that this is going to be a team that has to score 28, 35, you know, points per game, that type of offensive performance to win most of their games.
Which isn't a bad thing. That was what was advertised from Morris coming in to his tenure at the University of Arkansas, was that we're going to left lane, hammer down, and we're going to score some points. And everybody, you know, if you watch Oklahoma, a team that does the high-level offense really well, they give up a lot of points, but they're going to score. And Arkansas, for whatever reason, just hasn't been able to put points on the board.
Well, I think part of it has to do with quarterback play. They have not had good quarterback play until the second half last night. I mean, go back and think last year. Can you think of a quarterback performance where, you know, they were able to move the ball up and down the field like Starkel was able to do last night? And maybe pump the brakes on Starkel for just a minute. It's important to realize that he only led one scoring drive. Even though he was able to put up all these yards, I think he passed for, what, 201, and I think they had 224 yards in the second half.
Yeah, 201 passing yards.
Yeah, so he was only able to lead one scoring drive. They've got to get better at getting the ball punched into the end zone. We saw that some last year. I mean, toward the end of last season, Ty Story was starting to get to a point in some games where they were moving up and down the field, but they weren't punching the ball in the end zone enough. And there were penalties that were taken. It's still kind of the same thing that we saw last season to a certain degree. So, but offensive line, you mentioned Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got one of the best offensive lines in the country, and that's been an issue with Arkansas. And I didn't watch the offensive line just so close last night to really form, you know, an opinion of were they better or were they worse, or worse than they were against Portland State. But it's clear to me that it's going to take another – people don't want to hear this, but it's probably going to take another year or two before that offensive line is at a level to where it needs to be for this offense. Because one of the things that stood out to me last season whenever Morris and Craddock came in is that they were asking their offensive linemen to lose weight. When do you ever hear of coaches asking – and it's not necessarily to lose weight. Yeah, sometimes you get a lineman who gets a little heavy and you ask him, hey, you need to drop 5, 10 pounds. They're asking these guys to drop 25, 30, 40 pounds. And you just don't see that in the offensive line. And so what has to happen is it has to be a process. You have to go out and recruit linemen to play this style of football. They get into your program. Then you have to spend a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years getting them physically ready, you know, to be able to be a quality lineman in the SEC. And then they have to go through those growing pains like you're seeing right now from a Ricky Stromberg or maybe a Dalton Wagner, who they're playing in these games and they're taking their licks, and it's going to make them better in a couple of years, but it's going to take a couple of years of that, of those growing pains for them to be able to be a quality offensive line. And so until the offensive line improves, I just don't know, you know, how well this offense can do. Having a better quarterback, that's going to make it better. But, man, you got to be patient when you're trying to instill an offense like this, because you have to have your offensive linemen, and those offensive linemen have to grow up. It's not just an overnight process. The offensive line is the hardest position on the football field to learn and to become a quality player at, in my opinion.
Patience. Patience is what Matt is preaching here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. And patience is something that, you know, the Razorback fans are just a little run out of by just a little bit. And, you know, you got to have some patience with a new coaching staff, but also at times you want to have success.
Yeah. I think so many people circled this Ole Miss game before the season. And this is the natural progression of how things work during the summer. Maybe in the spring it's like, well, I don't think it's going to happen. But then you overanalyze it so much, and you give yourself this belief that you're going to win that game. And Ole Miss was predicted to win. Ole Miss was playing at home. Arkansas has not been a good road team in several years. Everything pointed toward Ole Miss winning this game. Even last week, and I said this the other day, I think Ole Miss in a loss in its season opener played better than Arkansas did in a win because of the quality of competition they're playing. Memphis has played really well against Power 5 teams, and Arkansas was playing, you know, one of the lesser FCS teams that's out there in Portland State. And, you know, everything pointed toward Ole Miss winning the game last night. So I understand why people are upset. You want to win. You've lost 12 straight SEC games. But at the same time, I don't know that, you know, anybody outside of Arkansas really thought that the Razorbacks had a chance to win this game.
Just in case you're wondering, Portland State, they won yesterday. Now, they were playing a D2 school.
From Canada.
From Canada, exactly. They won 70-7, a D2 school in Canada, though. So we're going to qualify that. All right, Matt, before we let you get out of here, we got to ask you, through two games, Where have you seen improvement in these Hawks?
Well, I think in the defensive front, they look better this year. Quarterback play, if Starkle is the quarterback, I saw improvement in the second half last night over what I've seen in the first six quarters from a quarterback perspective. I think they are a lot better at the receiver position. I think they're going to take their lumps at the receiver position this year, especially as they start playing more physical defenses. They're going to get up there and play a little bit more, bump and run, jam type coverages. But there's clearly a lot of potential with guys like Treylon Burks and Trey Knox. And it just pops off, it just jumps out at you as you're watching the football game. There's so much potential from those guys. And so I think, at the skill positions, Rakeem Boyd is a little bit older. C.J. O'Grady didn't have a great game against Ole Miss, but he's obviously a year older. I think they're a lot better at the skill positions, and probably they're a little bit better on the offensive line, even though, it didn't necessarily show in the Ole Miss game. And to Ole Miss's, or to Ole Miss's credit, Ole Miss plays a three-man defensive front with three seniors. And so that's one of the more experienced defensive fronts Arkansas is going to see all season. So I think this team has improved. Now, is it going to win an SEC game? I don't know. I thought Ole Miss was probably going to be their best chance to win an SEC game. I do think you're going to see Arkansas play a lot better in non-conference games this year than they did last year. I think they're going to play Colorado State really well on Saturday, especially if they stick with Nick Starkle as their quarterback. I don't think Colorado State is as good as they were last year when they only won three games. They lost a lot of playmakers. They lost their two best wide receivers, including Preston Williams, who was a pretty good NFL draft pick. They lost their top running back, Izzy Matthews, who had the game-winning touchdown run against Arkansas in the fourth quarter last year. They lost their quarterback, K.J. Carter-Samuels. They're back to Colin Hill, who's had some knee injuries. And so I think you're going to see Arkansas play better against non-conference competition because I don't think the non-conference competition is as good. There's not a North Texas on the schedule this year. You play Colorado State, who won three games last season. You play San Jose State, who won one game last season. And you play Western Kentucky, who won one game last season. So I think they're going to win their non-conference games. Then the key becomes, can they pull an upset somewhere along the way in the SEC? What I saw in the second half last night, tackling notwithstanding, I thought that there was a little bit of a glimmer of hope right there that they can build on that and maybe they can, get to a fifth win by the end of the season and if all the stars align and they play their cards right, maybe they can get to that sixth win in a bowl game. I wouldn't put any money on them getting to a bowl game right now because I think that I'm like most. I thought any path to six wins in a bowl game went through Oxford and a win there. And so the fact they didn't get that, I think, significantly hampers their bowl chances. But, hey, I think this team is better than they were last year. That's not saying much because that was one of the worst teams they've ever had last season. But I do see some improvement to answer your question.
Make sure to tune in. Matt mentioned the Colorado State game, and we will have a preview of the Colorado State game here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. It'll drop on Thursday, and Colorado State and Arkansas play at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So tune in. We'll get you a roundtable once again in another great interview. For Matt Jones, I'm Seth Campbell. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you back next week.